Please sing AC/DC. I hope that's what this is about to be.
Living easy, loving free.
Yes.
Season ticket on a one-way ride. Asking nothing. Leave me be. Taking everything in my stride. Don't need reason. Don't need rhyme. Ain't nothing I'd rather do. Going down. Party time. My friends, Chris, Mike, and Jay, are going to be there too. We're on the highway to hell tonight on...
Highway to Hell! We're on the highway to hell!
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania! And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and crazy Chris Hudson.
Well, Maniacs, the bad news is that AC/DC is actually not associated with the particular film that we will be reviewing tonight. But the good news is we have the next best thing, and it's the boys from B-Movie Mania, Jason Hulls.
Let me see if I can get this right.
Yeah. Mike Hayes. Did
you do that?
What the hell was that?
Oh, it was a hell turkey.
It was Jerry Stiller.
Little Jerry Stiller right there. Nice, nice.
Yep.
And Chris Hudson.
Hey, you maniacs look pretty tired. I got a cabin out back, nice bed, clean sheets. Won't cost you a cent.
I just woke up. I'll go.
Yeah, you know what? I'll take you up on that, Chris. Thank you.
All right, good night, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Quick takes.
Quick takes.
Highway to Hell. I guess I should maybe say that we actually watched a movie called Highway to Hell. Mike, what's your quick take?
It's pretty good.
Uh-huh. Jay?
It's a fast, hot ride.
Oh, my God. Chris Hudson.
You know what? Not bad. Not bad at all. Pretty hot.
Paul, do you have one?
Say.
I know you don't always do them.
I don't ever
host.
Do quick takes anymore on my own episodes.
Bum, bum, bum.
Sorry. But come on, come up with one right now on the spot.
Give us one, Paul. Well, I want to hear it.
I kind of feel like I ate the jong on with this movie. That's terrible.
Oh, man.
I don't know what that means.
It's really bad, but it was pretty good.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Highway to Hell, directed by 8 de Jong, who I guess is from, I think, Denmark or something like that, or Finland.
New Zealand.
Yeah, he's,
that's what it looks
yeah,
like.
Denmark. He's Dutch.
Dutch. Thank you, Mike.
This was his, apparently this was his penultimate English language film.
Yeah, I kind of looked at his filmography. He kind of dipped into the America scene for a little while and then dipped back out.
Did some Drop Dead Fred.
Yeah, you saw me Drop Dead Fred didn't seal him into the American audience.
Starring Chad Lowe and the beautiful Christy Swanson.
You know, Paul, I heard that Chad Lowe is literally Rob Lowe's younger brother.
Is that true? I was wondering about that.
Literally his younger brother.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, interestingly enough, we, with this film, Highway to Hell, we're staying in 1991, but I feel like this movie might have a slightly higher budget than Fart the Movie had. So what'd you guys think about the opening theme song? We kind of, we did a little bit of it.
It's awesome. I loved it.
Yeah. Hidden Voices.
Yeah.
Hidden Voices, is that who did it?
That's who did it, yeah. Which I couldn't really find anything on them online.
You're like, okay, Highway to Hell. And like, just right off the bat, it's like, what?
They're just making noise.
Do they make the most boring title sequence possible that long just to play the song?
Well, Mike, why don't you describe it for us so the listener has an idea?
Okay, there's a postcard on it. It says "Welcome to Hell" and then or something "Highway to Hell" on it, and then it takes about 10 and a half minutes. Nothing changes on the postcard.
That is not true.
The postcard.
The postcard changes every 3.5 minutes.
The scorpion walks away at the end of it. That's all it is. But there's this fun, weird song in the background, so you got that for you. But otherwise, yeah. You're just like, does this movie start ever?
not the AC/DC soundtrack I expected.
Right.
That's really that's a shame. I know they wanted the AC/DC soundtrack. They wanted Highway to Hell, but man, that's a bummer that they didn't get that song.
Well, you know, at that point, you just changed the title of your movie.
Call it
That's what you name it.
But the good news, Jay, is that Charlie and Rachel are getting married. They're gonna tie the knot.
They sure are.
Tell me a little bit about Charlie and Rachel. Charlie is Chad Lowe, and Rachel is Christy Swanson.
Yeah, they are on the run in Chad Lowe's pizza car. It's got a big glowing slice. Yeah, big pinto with a glowing slice of pizza on top. And they are cruising to Vegas because they want to get married. But they're afraid because it comes out that you know, they were supposed to do this in secret. Christy Swanson, she left her mom a note. And then now they're like, oh, the police are going to come looking for us and try to stop us.
That cop is watching us.
Don't point at him, Charlie. Relax. Why would he?
Well, think about it. I mean, if your parents freaked out, they call the cops, right? You know, what we're doing is it's illegal.
Don't worry about it. Nobody knows we're getting married, Charlie.
I think it's Charlie who says, this is illegal. What is the insinuation here? Are they related?
Are they underage?
I think Charlie's underage.
Well, then how could they get married? I mean, do they just not care in Vegas?
Maybe Christy Swanson just groomed Chad Lowe.
Did anybody else hear that, though, or did I make that up?
That's where Rob learned it from?
No, that's possible. Yeah. I mean, maybe one or both of them were like 17 or something, or supposed to be.
No, I don't know. So they are on their way to get hitched, but they're nervous about this police officer that's tailing them.
Elope.
They're eloping, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's called elope.
That's why they're on the road.
I was just like, oh, sorry, that was way delayed, but I'm like, oh, wait, there's an actual word for that.
Illegal eloping. So they get off on Black Canyon Road, Mike, and...
I've been there.
Have you really?
I don't know. Sounds like a place
I've
been.
Could be, maybe.
Did you see a helicopter?
I saw a helicopter.
Mm, close.
It's close.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, at least it's not Zizek's Road, you know?
At least it's... Unless that's what you want, you know?
Hey. And they make a pit stop at the Last Chance service station.
Gas is $8 and advice is free. You heading for Las Vegas?
Why do you ask?
Well, it's an old road and needs a lot of repair. You'd be a lot safer on the interstate.
Richard Farnsworth.
Yeah.
I really appreciated the attempt at a jump scare when he leans down over the windshield to wash the windshield for him.
I'm washing the windshield.
He loves getting the peep of Christy Swanson.
Well, who doesn't?
That's probably what I would do, yeah.
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 Well, he's rambling a bunch of horse shit, and they're just like, let's get the fuck out of here. So mm-hmm. They get their stuff and they just book it in the car down the road.
But Richard Farnsworth imparts some knowledge to them before they leave. If you recall, he says, hey, there's going to be some Joshua trees involved.
Wise words.
Well, listen, son, you keep your eye out for two Joshua trees. If you get sleepy, don't pull over till you pass the second one. You hear?
Charlie, as they're leaving... not too long after, it's like 13 seconds after they leave, Charlie falls asleep at the wheel, Chris, and gets himself in a little bit of trouble.
Whoopsie. Yeah, he sure does, because as Old Man Exposition said at the gas station, don't fall asleep between the two Joshua trees.
Old Man Exposition. That was that was the character's name.
And you know, those Joshua trees are not actually all that far apart.
No, they're what, so, 50 feet maybe?
Yeah, he falls asleep pretty fast.
And what happens?
Oh, Hellcop shows up. He pulls him over. Sergeant Bedlam.
Yeah. Sergeant Bedlam.
I think he has a sweet look. I think the makeup.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Great.
Jay, you want to talk about awesome. It?
Yeah, he looks like the Baron from Manborg. It looks like his cousin, but a police officer. He's all scarred up. He's got a cop outfit on.
Not just scarred up, but he's got writing in
his skin. He's got goggles embedded in his face. Pretty great character design there. I believe it was after some kind of Clive Barker movie that they
got
designed.
Got like pentagrams all over.
Yeah, yeah. And he's out for some hellish justice or kidnapping virgins.
It's bad enough when you get pulled over by a regular cop, but when you got Hellcop involved here, not great.
And Hellcop, he flexes pretty quick because he pulls the car door off.
Yeah.
To get Rachel. Or Christy Swanson, that's her character. And he also, I love this bit. I just love this. He puts handcuffs on her. But not handcuffs.
Oh, yeah.
Handcuffs. It's a pair of hands with a chain in the middle. And these hands just grab her and hold her.
They're like gray and dead.
Yeah. They're nasty.
Dead hands. It's a good bit.
And by the way, even the police cruiser looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. You've got to do a sign of a pentagram to get the car door handles to appear.
That's my favorite bit.
That was good. And there's, sweet, like, smoke and red flame underneath the car. It looks really cool as he's going down the road. It's the whole Hellcop thing's cool.
What was this car, though? Because it wasn't... Was it an actual vehicle they put shit on top of? Because it was bulkier than a vehicle. I feel like it's a custom-made thing.
It could be, yeah.
And it looks good, but it's obviously not a manufactured vehicle from Detroit. Well,
I think the biggest clue that this was specially custom-made is that there's a television showing commercials inside that the prisoner can watch.
Yeah. And Mike, just to clarify, I think this is what all cop cars in Detroit look like.
There's nothing I'd rather reach for than a fire-brewed bottle of Styx beer. Made from the filthiest waters from our own river Styx.
Charlie here has to go back to the service station to chat up Richard Farnsworth, and he says, lay some exposition on me, dog.
Yeah, he has to go crawling back to a guy he told to fuck off about 2 minutes before.
You know, can I also just say, I have a certain appreciation for this scene, because I found that there's a little creative direction here, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Old Man Exposition is sitting in the chair talking to Charlie, right? He's sitting in his outside lawn chair thing, and he runs a gas station. He's like a mechanic kind of guy. And on his chair, there is a rear view mirror that has been welded onto the chair, which allows them to do a shot where you can see the guy's face. You see this a lot in films where you see somebody's face in the mirror that they're talking to. So you see Charlie, you see the man's face in the rear view mirror on the chair. I just thought it was a creative decision to put a rear view mirror on the chair. It feels like it would be there. They got a great shot out of that little setup. So way to go at DeJong.
Well, I just had this thought that this movie is basically the Greek myth of Orpheus and Eurydice.
Oh.
And that's one way you can do, you know, because the big thing in that myth was don't turn back. Don't look behind you. He's got a mirror. Maybe he learned that lesson. Because Old Man Exposition lost his woman.
Right.
Long ago.
Interesting. So yes, that does come out.
Into that.
That's why he is at the gas station in the middle of nowhere.
In the middle of the night, I fell asleep driving that godforsaken road.
Did Clara die in the crash?
No, she disappeared. I never did find Clara, but I've never given up hope.
So he gives him a PT Cruiser. He's like, here's a car. You're not going anywhere in this Pinto, bud. And he gives him a shotgun with special hell bullets, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So he outfits him. You know, he gives him the things
hell
he needs.
Shells.
Yeah, the hell shells. and as Chuck is driving away, he says, "Oh, I put something special in the car," and you don't get to hear what it is.
And Charlie doesn't hear it.
No. Nope. So he's cruising out there. He's going to look for this portal. And then, unbeknownst to him, this must be the most policed back road in America because he almost gets pulled over by a regular police officer that happens to be out there.
He does. He does get pulled over.
Right.
Arrest you, son of a bitch! Oh, shit.
Chris, does he believe?
Well, I mean, he says it like 50 times. I believe. I believe. I believe. So I tend to take him at his word. Mm-hmm. Also because he opens the portal to hell.
Yeah, and he believes so hard that he... You remember when Chuck Norris drives the truck up out of the hole in the ground? Just from
Lone
his
Wolf
sheer
McQuaid,
force
yes.
of will? It's kind of the same bit here. He has sheer force of will that opens up that portal and allows him to drive into hell.
Well, straight into northern Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, this is also, like Chris was saying, this is based on another fairy tale, I believe, the I Believe stuff. This is directly, you know, not ripped, but I think an homage to, you know, Peter Pan when Tinkerbell's dead and they have to open a portal to hell to get her to
what?
Resurrect again.
Yeah.
And of Peter Pan.
That's a little different than the version of Peter Pan I know, but I don't know. Mm. I mean, you may have grown up closer to
you
Arizona
know the Disney version. You know the Disney version.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But. We cut back to Hellcop and Christy, who's in the backseat of the Hellcop mobile, Mike, and he takes her straight to a place called Pluto's Donuts.
What is this place?
I'm a donut and coffee fan myself. I would not mind paying a visit to this particular donut and coffee shop.
You absolutely would mind.
Did you
That's
see
the
coffee?
Point of it? It's a torture spot for police officers. That's what it is in hell.
I think this is where the cops go in hell. They go to, because they can't get coffee. They can't get donuts. The service is awful.
Yeah, it's bad. It's not good. That Paul, you would hate it there.
Well, I don't know. I'm not a cop, so maybe I'd get served. I don't know.
Coffee.
Waitress. Well, honey, why didn't you say you wanted coffee? We got
I did wonder how the entire Stiller family got involved with this project.
Yeah.
Well, I know that Mike Hayes has been a longtime Jerry Stiller fan, so Mike, why don't
Rat
you talk
fuck.
A little bit about what?
Rat fuck.
Is that from The Independent?
Yep, that's the name that... It's the best joke Jerry Stiller's ever done, and I'm not saying because he hasn't done many. I'm just saying it's so fucking good that he has a son named Ratfuck in a movie because he let audiences vote on what they should name his kid. They said Ratfuck. And then for the rest of the movie, they keep talking to Ratfuck.
It's been a long time since I've seen that one, but I'd like to revisit it sometime.
That's probably a BTS there.
It's probably streaming somewhere, right? I don't know.
Oh, in The Independent? Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
Maybe. I guess stuff's coming up on Tubi and shit. So.
Go to Mike's house if you want to watch it on VHS.
Yeah, pop it over. Pop on over.
Anyway, this is something, you know, this is one of those parts of the movie that really hit for me because there's such a attention to detail and just so many neat little things going on. So, Mike, why don't you talk about it?
Well, it's the diner's there. I guess they must serve other food or... Ben Stiller plays a, let's call him simple, son probably of the proprietors of this hell coffee shop.
Yeah.
And they just let him make food out on the sidewalk out front. That's what he's doing this whole time.
No, the sidewalk is hot.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it is hot in hell.
What does he say? Who needs mesquite when you got concrete?
Yeah, he also, he's making omelets and he bashes an egg on his head, cracks it on his head and puts it on there. And he's like, I'll make you an egg cheese or head cheese
head
omelet.
Head cheese omelet, yeah.
So he said a lot of puns, so it's pretty good.
Including my favorite pun, vegetarian bitch.
Well, that's not really a pun.
Well, I mean.
Or wordplay in any capacity, but. And then Mama Stiller is the diner lady who doesn't stop talking. She just tells her stories and never serves coffee to these diners.
My favorite line from her is, it's going to be a real scorcher today.
That's pretty good. And then Jerry, Daddy Stiller, is one of the cops who's been there a long time just trying to get coffee from her.
And she will not pour him a cup of coffee. It's so good.
Nope. Nope. It's
great. But Hellcop rolls in.
Yep. And he gets a cup of coffee.
And I don't think there's really much of a... I guess Christy Swanson escapes is kind of the point of this scene, really. But it's
she uses the hot coffee and pours it on the handcuffs.
Yeah.
So the handcuffs do feel pain because they let go.
Yeah. That actually is important to establish. So that actually, if nothing else, establishes that the handcuffs that she's restrained with do react to outside things.
Yeah.
But I think the real point of this whole scene is to introduce Royce and his biker gang.
That's true. We get introduced to Royce here, who is a sort of, we come to learn, sort of a former protege or pet project, maybe you'd say, of someone who we'll meet later. But as of right now, he's in this sort of, you know, hell biker gang.
Despiser.
He had a good look, though, for the, like, early 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, very early 90s look. This movie came out in 1990. I think I read that it was shelved for, like, at least a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I read that.
So they actually shot it in the late 80s, because it does have kind of that late 80s vibe to it, you know?
Yeah. And this is, you know, right before Ben Stiller kind of started hitting it big.
Yeah.
So pre-mainstream fame, Ben Stiller.
Gentlemen, I'm surprised. Hello. Perhaps I could interest you in an omelet. Okay, in a bit of a rush. I can understand that. I'll just... cook you up a fine head cheese omelet.
This would have been, well, I guess depending on when they filmed it, maybe pre-Seinfeld? I don't know. Probably right when Seinfeld was starting.
Yeah, I want to say around the time that Ben Stiller had his show on, it was MTV, right?
What show are you talking
about?
Probably.
The Ben Stiller show.
Oh, right.
Like Bob Odenkirk wrote for it and a bunch of like big comedy people.
Right. Yeah,
I want to say, what's his face from The Office was on it, and
Jim.
Yeah, no, not
Steve
Jim.
Steve Carell.
Yeah, I think he was on it. Yeah,
that was 92 to 95. Ben Stiller.
Was it that later? Okay,
so pre-Ben Stiller show.
Wow.
Well, you know who was popular in the '80s was Lita Ford.
Yeah.
Oh God, we'll get to Lita Ford in just a second.
I just want to talk about her boobs the entire show.
Well. Trust me, Chris, I'm going to let you.
Such a not part of the movie.
It's not.
Yeah, right?
I just want to point out real quick, that Jerry Stiller, I just want to talk about him for a little bit longer here.
You want to talk about Jerry Stiller like I want to talk about Lita Ford's boobs.
Exactly. He steals Hellcop's cup of coffee. Hellcop gets served at this place for some reason. It's this like bubbly... weird, you know, like dry ice, weird cup of coffee. And Jerry steals it. And Hellcop does this thing to him where he shoots him with his gun. And I don't know exactly what is supposed to be happening here, but he goes down into like some sort of pit. And keep in mind, they're supposedly in hell. So does anyone have any theories on what happened to Jerry Stiller's cop character?
Yep.
What? Yeah. Jay.
Okay, much later in the film, they establish that there are many, many levels of hell. And this, I believe, is the, quote, kindergarten level where we're at now. So I think Hellcop's gun sends people to a lower level of hell.
Mm.
I think that's where Jerry went.
Well, that checks out with all of the sort of mythology and everything.
I have a different theory.
Yeah, Mike.
If I may propose it. Well... I just watched Drive Angry and Despiser together recently, and both of those say that if you die in hell or wherever you're at, your soul goes nowhere. And both have special guns and bullets, just like in this movie, that kill demons. And so I think they are all the same universe. Mm. And so I think that Jerry Stiller went and met Despiser in purgatory.
That would be pretty great.
Yeah, you know, Highway to Hell and Despiser, that would not be a bad double feature night right there.
Mm-hmm. That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let me read what I have written in my notes right here.
Wait, it says, what about my theory for where the gun goes?
Yeah, what about Chris's theory?
Chris, do you have a theory for this Jerry Stiller situation?
I do. At the bottom of the pit that Jerry Stiller falls into... leads to Third Earth, and there's a whole thing with the Thundercats and Mumra, and it's just a crazy 80s cartoon extravaganza. It's fantastic.
Chris, if Jerry Stiller dropped down to the Thundercats level, what do you think what do you think would be the first thing that Mumra would say to him?
Ancient spirits of evil. Probably something like that.
That's not where Paul was going.
Not what
that.
I was going for.
Motherfucker!
Took him a second.
It's been a while since I've heard that.
All right. So let me read to you guys what I have written down in my notes right here. It says, and I quote, "Chris, Charlie runs into Lita Ford's boobs. Please talk about it."
Man, I mean, how much time we got?
All night.
I mean, Lita Ford was, I mean, she was never really my favorite of the bands of that era, although her duet with Ozzy Osbourne is fantastic. One of the best songs of all time.
Lita Ford, kind of an 80s, like, hair metal musician.
Yeah, yeah. She was actually part of the Runaways.
Yes.
Which we've had other members of the Runaways in movies we've watched. I believe the Oscar award-winning Parasite featured
Demi Moore.
Yeah, well, Demi Moore and the woman, I can't remember her name, Cherry Bomb. It's the song Cherry Bomb that the Runaways sang was about her.
Yes, and
on that song, Lita Ford played guitar. And eventually she grew up, after the Runaways split up, she grew up and she went to hell to be in Highway to Hell. Which, I guess, if you can't get Angus Young or someone from AC/DC, Lita Ford's a nice second pick. And her boobs are definitely a lot bigger than anyone in AC/DC's. So
maybe not now, but then, certainly.
I've got to catch a cop before he gets to Hell City.
Oh, Hell Cop?
Yeah.
Huh. Dream on, man. No way. You just better hope he doesn't get you.
Well, I'll take my chances. He's got my girlfriend.
So you need me, then?
Why do I need you?
Because I know where Hell Cop takes him.
And there's not even a good cut to this. It just crossfades to Lita Ford.
Yeah, she's hitchhiking. She needs a ride somewhere, which eventually leads into the greatest missed opportunity in casting this movie has to offer. Probably the entire 1991 has to offer.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that.
But I'm getting ahead of myself, is that as she's hitchhiking, Lita Ford is trying to, like, get a ride by showing off her enormous rock and roll assets, really. I mean, her boobs are like, I mean, her cleavage is
sweaty
there, and they're pushed up, and it's just, yeah.
And
just,
there's really not much of a point to this scene either.
No, nope. Except for the ice cream man.
Clint Howard?
Yeah, you want to just go ahead and say what that missed opportunity was? Yeah,
that is the missed opportunity, is they didn't get Clint Howard for the fucking ice cream man.
You could have.
Yeah.
You could have.
Yeah.
Oh, we know. We don't know what Clint was doing and where he was in the world, but you know you could have.
You could have.
100% could have had him.
Yeah, because the whole bit is, it's all a trap, right? Like, she's putting the heaving rock and roll assets in his face, and then quickly she's like, "You got room for two?" And moves, and then the ice cream man jumps at him.
Well, there's just one thing. Have you got room for two?
Well, everything about this level, because, like, you see, like, roadside cleanup crews, and this level of hell, those cleanup crews are littering the roads.
Mm.
You've got, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff in this movie like that.
They're kind of weirdly dressed like Andy Warhol for some reason.
Yeah.
All of them. I don't know why.
Paul, this movie gave me real bottom of the world vibes.
Oh.
Is that intentional?
Is it intentional on my part? No.
Oh, okay.
That was a movie, because keep in mind, I think I mentioned this at the end of the last episode. This is a movie that I've been trying to do since season 4. And every time I'd be like, okay, well, I'm going to announce Highway to Hell tonight. I better check and make sure that it's still streaming. It'd be gone. where it was there like the day before. So this has kind of been my white whale for a while. So no, Mike, I don't mind that comparison, but it was not intentional.
That sounds like the sort of thing that would happen in the kindergarten level of hell, Paul.
Yeah. Bottom of the World, listeners, is a movie that me, Mike, and a friend of the show, Derek, reviewed for the off-season. Go check it out. BMovieMania.com.
Since you say it's your car, do you want me to haul it in and fix it up for you?
Yeah, if you could just take a look, that would help me a lot.
Didn't say I'd look at it. Said I'd fix it.
So kind of a big plot point here, I guess. A tow truck shows up with some guy named Beazel.
And
and his weird ass kid, Adam.
Adam?
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 What do you mean, Charlie? You gonna get me out of here, Charlie?
Guys?
Let's talk Adam? About my dad, Charlie.
Guys?
Guys?
Adam?
Let's talk about 1313 Mansion, Charlie.
Hey, Philip, what's his name?
It's Mr. Ben. Adam, right?
Right.
I'm Charlie.
Nice to meet you, Charlie.
Beazel.
Listen, you guys know me. You know that I'm not super big on kids most of the time, especially when they show up in a movie. So when this kid showed up, I was like, oh, no. Jay, why don't you describe Beazel and Adam for us?
Beazel's a real nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's offering to fix Charlie's car out of the kindness of his heart.
He's like Hell's AAA.
Yeah, it's what's the A? It's Anarchy, Armageddon, and I don't remember the other
something.
One.
Annihilation.
Annihilation. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, and then there's the little kid who looks like in another film he could probably play the creepy demon child, but he's not in this one so much. Adam.
Guys.
Yeah, they're gonna take Charlie back to the shop and fix up his car.
I know where Hellcock will take her.
You do? Okay. Hey, listen, you just stay out of the way, all right? It's very dangerous, okay?
Okay.
Charlie and Adam and the dog. What's the dog's name?
Smooches, maybe?
No idea.
Sugar. We'll say Sugar.
Sugar
sounds nice.
Charlie, Adam, and Sugar, they eventually make a stop at a place in hell called Hoffa's Casino.
Mm-hmm. Why does Hellcop go to the casino?
Right? Yeah. I think he had to take a piss.
You know what? That's what it appears to be. Because when he walks out, can I just do this real quick? Like, you know, Charlie goes in and Rachel's in a cage. There's strippers in here. And it's just a crazy casino. And for some reason, Rachel's in a cage. And I think you're right, Chris, because...
Yeah.
Because Charlie's like, oh my God, I'm going to get you out of this cage. And sure enough, it shows through the crowd. Here comes Hellcop from like backstage somewhere for some reason. I think he had to pee. Yeah.
Well, he did have that coffee at Pluto.
Yeah. You know, that sort of thing really humanizes Hellcop.
It really does.
I can identify more with Hellcop now.
Right. If he's got a long way to drive. You gotta make a stop. What are you going to do with this girl? Mm-hmm. She's already proven she's going to escape. You put her in a stripper cage.
This is where I start having problems with the movie.
What?
Uh-oh.
At Hoffa's Casino? No. Why is that, Mike?
Because the inconsistencies of hell are mind-boggling.
Okay.
You've got a diner full of cops who are being tortured by not being served donuts and coffee. Well-deserved. I get it. But you go to the casino, and I won't do the reveal, but the casino is full of bad people that are just having a nice time. And so I don't understand why the casino exists as a place of refuge for some bad people, but there are other places that are tortures for
others.
That's
a fair point.
I think I can answer this for you, Mike.
I mean, I know it's because who they got for the poll, but go for it.
What is it, Chris?
Just four words. All cops are bad.
Oh.
So you're saying that... Hitler. Now I agree. I'm no bootlicker. Fuck the police, as they say. But Hitler is having a great fucking time.
No,
the casino.
No. That is not Hitler.
I like to sit in my room and play air guitar. I like to dance around the room in my underwear.
Would you just get over it and get therapy like I did?
No, I'm not Hitler and I should not be sitting at the same table with the Flintstones.
I can't deal with this.
I have no evidence that this man is Hitler. I mean, okay, one, he's played by Gilbert Gottfried.
There
and he's talking
is.
To Ben Stiller as Attila the Hun in another role, and Ben Stiller's wife is Cleopatra. But this quote-unquote Hitler, I said he does not belong here. He keeps protesting why he's there. He wants to tell the devil that, hey, I'm not Hitler. I'm Bob. And so, and he even has a whole spiel about how he's going to, once he gets to talk to the devil, that he'll say, hello, devil. And the devil will be like, hello, Bob. And then he'll get out. That's not Hitler.
I have a feeling that Gilbert Gottfried, who recently left us at the time of this recording, just like, I don't know, 10 days ago or something like that. Mm-hmm. We just lost Gilbert Gottfried. I have the feeling that he probably improv'd this entire thing. This just sounds definitely. Like something he did off the top of his head.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's I loved that part.
It's very good. It's very funny.
I'm not Hitler!
We've heard that story before, haven't we?
Once it's explained, the devil will look at me and I say goodbye, devil, and he goes goodbye, Bob.
Well, whether or not it's Hitler, it's great. Gilbert Gottfried with a great little cameo. And did you say that this was Ben Stiller's wife as Cleopatra?
Yeah. And yep, Ben Stiller's wife as Cleopatra and Ben Stiller himself in a second part as Attila the Hun.
Oh, that's right. But is that actually Attila the Hun?
Yeah, well, he didn't say his name was Bob like Hitler did, so I assume so.
Super good. But, Chris, we actually get a really shocking moment here at the casino when Hellcop spots Charlie.
Charlie's got his shotgun with his hell shells, and he shoots at Hellcop. But one thing I love, this foreshadows how to actually defeat Hellcop, because when Hellcop's walking towards him, he like covers his eyes so his glasses don't get shot off.
Mm.
And he just throws Charlie aside, grabs the shotgun, and shoots him.
Yep, square in the chest.
Yep, square in the chest. Charlie is dead.
Not
credits.
Good.
Charlie! Nice to have you back. How are you feeling?
I don't know. I can't believe I'm alive.
Well, you might have been killed, only the bullet couldn't pierce your soul.
Yeah, Charlie's back.
Because the shells did not pierce Charlie's soul.
It didn't pierce his soul, right? He's strong.
Lucked out. Very good. Yep. Charlie eventually finds Hellcop's car at the caves from 127 hours. And he goes inside this door. Mike, what is behind door number one?
A tiger.
No, not quite. That's The Hangover.
Different movie.
I don't know.
I don't think he watched this part.
I fell asleep at this part. I fell asleep both times at this part.
That's okay.
Not because I was bored. Admittedly, it's highway to hell, so I got high both times.
Oh.
Oh, the highway to hell. So, oh,
makes
man.
Much more sense now.
So I did fall apart, so I'm enjoying. There's a little bubble in here. I know the end. I know here, but this is a little foggy right here. So
Jay,
please.
I'm willing to bet that you can handle this little section right here.
Yeah, sure. I don't fully understand. Well, okay, I get why this is in the movie. Yeah, it's... Anyway, whatever. So he goes in, he thinks he's going to find his girlfriend, and they keep telling him, don't go do this. Don't go into the caves from 127 hours. And he doesn't listen, and he goes in anyway. And he does find her.
Oh, yeah, I remember this part.
And she just wants to jump his bones.
Oh, Charlie, I'm so glad you're here.
Where is he?
I don't know. Make love to me, Charlie. If you make love to me, the devil won't want me anymore.
Yeah, so Hellcop bursts through the wall like the Kool-Aid man.
Yeah, there's a knockdown, drag-out fight here.
Get the Cesaro swing going on there. Picks Charlie up by his ankles and swings him around.
He's got a little airplane spin thing going on. It's great.
And it looks like Charlie wins here. Like, he gets gun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kills Hellcop and gets the girl who wants to bang him.
Well.
I like this bit.
I remember this. It's not her.
I like this because he looks in the mirror and he sees that she's this horrible demon, naked demon. And he has another knockdown drag-out fight with the naked
Some real demon. Nat Geo tits going on here.
Listen. Okay, so, I mean, we got the tease of Lita Ford's boobs, okay? We don't really see them. They're just massive cleavage. And then in Hoffa's, you got some boobs, but you don't really get a good look at any of them. They're kind of on screen kind of quickly. Mm-hmm. Now's our chance to get some full-on tits that we get, like, a huge eye full of.
Right.
It's glorious.
Real ahoogas.
Yeah, they're.
Come to mama.
Oh, baby. Oh. Let's rub bellies, Charlie. Come to mama.
This is another layer of hell that works with your theory here, Jay, where, like,
yeah,
he shoves her onto the bed or kicks her onto the bed or something, and she just goes straight down into, like, a pit of hell.
Well, now, now hang on. This works with Jay's theory, but not my Third Earth Thundercats theory.
Well, I didn't see Mumra in the shot anywhere.
I see that. I like this part, though. I think that was cool because they kept saying, if you make the wrong choice, you're never coming back.
Oh.
So if he would have given in and he would have grabbed her and got on the bed, they would have both collapsed through the.
That's why she was on the edge of the bed. Got it.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of a cool trick.
It turned out that the succubus is the one who had chosen poorly.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some sort of weird VW bug race or
slug
traffic
bug.
Jam.
I think this is to show that everyone who drives a VW bug ends up in hell. And this is all of them.
There's a weird three-headed dog Cerberus thing or whatever you call
Cerberus,
it.
Cerberus, yeah.
That
more
thing's
Greek
cool.
mythology. The Cerberus is the guardian of the gates of Hades.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of deviating from the whole Judo-Christianity sort of version of hell and moving into straight-up Greek mythology at this point.
Well, then, Chris, where would this fit in where Charlie has to travel on the river Styx to get into Hell City?
Well, that's, I mean, it fits right in. I mean, the river Styx is the gateway to Hades.
Ah, yes.
Charlie convinces Charon to take him on the boat and bring him to Hell City.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, the river Styx is also where they get the delicious water for Styx beer.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie makes his way down the river Styx here, and he gets dropped off at Hell City and finally locates Rachel.
Yes.
And we get a pretty big reveal here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the big cheese comes out, and he's looking all, you know, classic devil. Horns,
yeah.
And he wants Rachel, and she's playing the violin. She thought that Charlie was dead, you know? So she's chilling, playing some violin, and wouldn't you know it, Beazel is the devil.
Oh
man, did not see that coming.
I know.
Who would have called her with a name like Beazel?
The name like Beazel.
I am darkness made visible. I am the prince of princes. I once basked in the light of God's love.
Then you must know how we feel.
I know how everyone feels.
I think it was when it's classic-looking Satan with the horns and the makeup and everything, I think it was a different actor playing him.
It was, yeah. It was.
So I don't quite know why that was. I think it should have just been Beazel because, A, it's pretty obvious, and, B, it would have been sweet to just have all that Satan makeup on, but just the sweet mustache that Beazel had, too. Missed opportunity there.
Yeah. Well, that would have made Charlie look even dumber for not catching on earlier.
And also, there's a weird thing here where they interact with the devil, and the devil says, you can go. And it's kind of maybe a little anticlimactic.
It's so funny because they're just like, please, can we come, please? It's like, fine, just go.
But don't look back.
Not what you expect.
Well, this is where they make it obvious that this is the story of Orpheus and Eurydice.
Go. On one condition. Remember. Don't look back.
They escape, Charlie and Rachel escape in the hell cop car.
Yeah.
And there's this whole thing with people dressed up in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, like green man suits, but they're like painted orange. I have no idea what it's supposed to mean.
Yeah, well, I think with my heightened state,
Yeah.
This was a real mindfuck of a scene.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But they're like dressed in like, they're not just in like green suits. They're in like lava suits or something. They look like painted lava or something. Like those colors, oranges, mm-hmm. yellows, reds. And so, and they're falling on the car and there's, and so while I don't have an answer, Chris Hudson might, Chris.
Okay, well, this goes back. This is the payoff for the don't look back bullshit.
Mm.
So in the Orpheus and Eurydice myth, you know, Orpheus looks back at Eurydice. He's not supposed to, but because he looks back, then she has to stay with Hades for 6 months out of the year, and she gets to live for 6 months out of the year, blah, blah, blah. It's a whole thing. But you can't really do that in this movie because it's like, oh, Charlie looked back, and now Christy Swanson is only in the real world for 6 months and in Highway to Hell for 6 months. And that's an awful long time for a movie to go on. So
true.
The consequences of him looking back at one point, like she trips, he looks back. She's like, don't look back. And that alerts all these guards in fucking lava green man suits or whatever to attack them. Mm-hmm. And so they need to go. Hey, oh, hey, here's Hellcop's police cruiser, which leads up to my favorite moment of the movie where Christy Swanson does the hand movements to get to open the car. And she's like, wait, I can open this. And she does her. It takes her a few tries, but it's great.
Yeah,
but yeah,
it.
That's the payoff. This is the payoff for him for that whole thing. It's kind of shitty, to be honest.
It's hard to see. Like they don't shoot it in such a way where you can really tell. It, you know, it's a big. If I remember right, the camera's up high and they're pointing down and they just you see her fall. It's not like they get in there where you see her fall and he turns around in a close up and oh, it's dramatic. Oh, now all the guards are coming. It's just this one high shot. It just okay, now they're chased.
And Christy Swanson does say, "No, don't look back."
Right, but you don't really see her say it. I don't think.
Yeah,
no. You
it's
hear
from
her
that
say
same
it.
High angle. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just undramatic.
They show up at Beazle's house, I guess, Satan's house.
His tower,
and they're trying to get Adam back. We haven't
Adam?
Gone into this too much.
Adam
guys?
Is, Jay, Adam? How would you describe this? Adam is basically...
Guys?
In the same way that Hitler and, you know, different really bad people throughout history have been sort of... Well, Royce was sort of a failed project from what we gather here.
Yeah. He's pretty jealous. Yeah.
Okay, so the whole Royce biker gang thing, honestly, as is, probably could have been cut from the movie.
Yeah.
It's not a long movie, so I don't care. But that whole thing, like, I think Royce, if he's a failed experiment from the devil, yes, because what you're saying, Paul, is like, the devil's trying to groom people. He sends them up to Earth to do terrible things, and Adam is going to be groomed to do that.
To go up there and do that, yeah.
Right. And Adam doesn't want to be a bad person, but that's not going to be a choice after a while. So Royce keeps trying to get in the devil's good graces again. I think it would have been more appropriate if Royce had some sort of crisis of conscience and was good, showing why he's not appropriate to be the devil's right hand.
When do I get to go back up?
Don't hold your breath.
You owe me a chance, Beazle. What have I been doing here? I'm better than those God-fearing six-star TV evangelists. I'm the guy. I'm the best. I'm the one.
You're not. You are a great disappointment to me.
Charlie makes a literal deal with the devil. Mm-hmm. And Jay, what is the setup for the climax here?
They got to race.
Yep.
They got to drive the car.
Mike, Beazle doesn't quite go for it here. He says no deal at first.
Well, because Beazle's not a racer.
But do you remember what happens? They have to sweeten the deal here a little bit.
They say they're going to race Hellcop, and then...
I just want to see how much of the movie he actually watched.
I remember this scene, but I don't remember what the pot, sweeten the pot is. I remember then they
Chris?
Race, you know...
Well, Rachel says, well, if we win, if we lose, then I will stay with you willingly for eternity.
Right.
And Beazle's like, yeah, Chrissy Swanson's going to have my baby.
You come of your own free will?
Yes.
It's a deal.
So he's just kind of like rolling with all this stuff. It's not a, none of this is a big deal at all.
Well, but then he offers like Charlie to be the quarterback for like a football team.
Oh, the Rams.
The Rams, yes. Yeah.
Things could have been very bad for Steve Young had the devil offered him the 49ers gig.
Yeah, this was a nice setup for a large part of the movie, or at least at the beginning of the movie, you see Charlie wearing a San Francisco 49ers baseball cap. And at the end of the movie, right before the race, the devil says, "Would you like to be the quarterback of the Los Angeles Rams?" And Charlie Charlie puts the hat on and he says, "You know, if you'd said the 49ers, I might have thought about it."
It's a fun little gag.
Well, they race. It's proper street rules for pink slips. Hot pink slips, because it's in hell.
Pink soles.
And it's a cool race. I think the biker gang was in there a bit.
Yep.
And then they bust through the portal into fuck nowhere.
See,
what?
Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Set it up in Act 1. What did Richard Farnsworth say? There's a special thing involved.
Oh, the special thing in the car. I was hoping you could tell me what that was.
Which
I was so high.
I just have to say, this special thing is located in the absolute worst part for a driver.
I'm a driver. How am I turning that on?
Yeah.
You need to put a Steve Swanson in the passenger seat.
I know what it is.
No, you're done, Mike. You're done.
There's a special button.
Mike found the clitoris.
No. He fucking doesn't know what that is at this point.
He does not. He's also a terrible kisser. Did anybody else see that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You'll have to watch his older brother's tapes.
Oh, no.
Go, Mike.
But yeah, there's a special button that's like nitrous or something, and it blasts some fire out of, you know, of the special Farnsworth mobile, just like Hellcop's car does.
But it's located right under the driver's seat that you would only ever be able to reach if you were looking for the sole remaining hell shell that you haven't used.
Yeah, or to change the 6-disc CD changer that's located under your driver's seat for some reason as well.
I see a switch. I think I know what it is.
They do it. Charlie and the Farnsworth mobile and everyone inside goes fucking just rocketing through the portal back onto Black Canyon Road. They must have gone through a handful of these cars because, I mean, it hits. It's just flying through the air Dukes of Hazzard style. And that's it. They're back. Roll credits.
Yep, credits. No, wait a minute. I remember something else happened.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. Someone else comes through.
Oh, yeah. The young cop is there still.
The young cop is still there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it could have just been, we don't know how time works, so it could have just been a couple seconds later.
I think it was, because the old man exposition's girlfriend was young still in hell, so I think time passes different.
Yeah, yeah.
And then...
Hell cop
comes through.
I mean, just because he lost the race doesn't mean he can't go back through the portal to fuck Charlie up.
Hellcop beats the shit out of Earthcop.
Yeah.
And a billboard, because his car comes rocketing through a billboard.
Christy Swanson takes matters into her own hands here, Jay.
Yep. She grabs that shotgun while her boyfriend's being choked to death, blows those goggles right off of Hellcop's face.
Yep.
And he explodes.
Mm-hmm. His face does that very 90s thing where it's like that rotoscope effect of like light coming out of something, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Kind of like what we see in Brain Damaged, really.
Hey, Paul, do you want to know what happens to everybody at the end of the movie?
What happens to everybody at the end of the movie following the nice little tune that we get at the end here as well?
Yeah, Charlie and Rachel got married with their parents' blessing. Their journey through hell inspired Charlie to develop the phenomenally popular video games Hell on Wheels, Dog in Hell, and I'd Rather Be Living. Rachel opened a chain of hot as hell pizzerias and sometimes serenades the customers on the violin. The two of them are very happy, but they vowed never to take the back roads at night again. Adam now lives with his aunt and uncle in Cleveland. He has his own dog, but still sends a postcard to Mr. Ben every Tuesday. That was the dog.
Oh, that's the dog.
That was the dog.
Sam still stays up late warning people about the highway to hell. He has not given up hope of seeing Clara again someday. Mr. Ben now stars in his own dog food commercial.
Yep.
For Beazle, the game goes on.
Ooh.
They definitely set it up here for a sequel. It's like they wanted to do a sequel to this.
Yeah.
I think they were leaving it up to AC/DC to do the sequel.
Yeah. What if there was a sequel and you had to name it after an AC/DC song, what would the sequel be?
Hell's Bells! That would be the best, probably. I was going to say Big Balls, but that makes no sense.
Big Balls
would
be good, too, though, yeah.
I don't know how you'd do, like, what would the movie be?
I don't know.
I've got big balls, Charlie. The biggest balls of them all, Charlie.
Oh, no.
Rating time.
I am open to suggestions here, folks. What somebody... I mean, I, you know, there's plenty of stuff that you can pick from this, but I'm curious to see if there's anything specifically that you guys would like to do for the rating system tonight.
Sidewalk omelets.
Sidewalk omelets. Okay, we got one. Anybody else?
Well, succubi titties?
Yeah, I was going to say Lita Ford boobs.
No.
Adams.
Guys?
Adams?
Guys? Guys?
1 out of 100, Mike Hayes.
It's a fun movie. It's weird. It's wild. It's there's stuff that doesn't need to be in there, but it's a short movie anyway, so it doesn't really matter. 84 Adams.
84 Adams. Adams.
Nice.
Chris Hudson.
Oh man, I agree with Mike. It's a pretty fun movie. There's a lot of just silliness going on. I mean, the execution could probably be a little better, but. I had a lot of fun both times I watched this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hell of a lot funnier than Chairman of the Board. So,
but not Fart the movie, of course.
Well, I mean, not many things are. Oh, no, everything is. So I'm going to give this 76 slug bugs.
Very nice. Very nice. I know you're into the slug bugs.
Like the slug bugs.
Jason Hulls, Highway to Hell. What do you think?
Yeah, I enjoyed the hell out of this movie.
Ah.
I think it was a lot of fun. It is one of those that swings for the fences. I think for the most part, it works. It keeps going in strange directions. So I enjoyed this quite a bit. So 87 high Chad Lowe's.
Wait, 87 what Chad Lowe's?
87 high Chad Lowe's.
High Chad Lowe's? Like he's high?
That's a great...
Yeah, like he's high. That's a, and his last name's Low. That's it.
High Chad Lowe's. Got it, got it.
Can I change my rating scale to High Chad Lowe's? 76 High Chad Lowe's?
Yes, but only if I can cross out slug bugs and have High Chad Lowe's on top of it.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Paul, what did you think?
I agree. I mean, it sounds like we're Uncle Sam in it here, and we're on the same page. It's kind of a hidden gem, I think. I mean, this is not something that I really knew about. It doesn't hit all of the marks for me. I think that there's some stuff, like we kind of talked about, where there was a few missed opportunities. But overall, you know, the cameos, the weird set designs with Hoffa's and Pluto's Donuts and everything. There's just a lot to like about it. I had my score picked out before, and I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to go with 84, just like Mike did. But I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to go 84 hot makeout sessions in a Pinto.
Nice.
Okay.
Even though Chad Lowe has some questionable makeout skills. I don't know. A little weird. A little weird, Chad.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania.
Okay, guys, I recently discovered this movie, and I am super excited to talk to you guys about it. It is from 2017. There are a lot of twists in it. There's a lot of turns. And there's a lot of cardboard. We are going to watch the film Dave Made a Maze.
Holy shit. That movie's very good.
Yes, the movie is very good. Spoiler.
You didn't get enough cardboard with Adam Green's Aladdin. We got to do this now.
Hell yeah, baby.
This is the untreated stuff.
This will be known as B-Movie Mania's cardboard season.
It sure will.
Where can we see this film, Dave Made
you
a Maze?
You can watch Dave Made a Maze on Tubi.
Per usual. Ooh. That's our go-to.
Chris, you're gonna be very excited by at least one of the cast members here.
Fantastic.
You'll know him from the Venture Brothers.
Hey, Chavo Guerrero's in that, too. Could have been him.
Ooh, Chavo.
Buy our Ooh Chavo shirt at store.bmoviemania.com.
We don't have any Chavo t-shirts.
It's a line that was cut out of an episode once.
But what we do have, listener, on the store right now, which you definitely should, pop on over to store.bmoviemania.com to pick up our brand new Alexandra Daddario is Daddy t-shirts.
Unrelated to any movie we've ever watched.
Are we actually doing that?
You know what? We've never had one of her movies on the pod, and I don't give a shit. Pick it up in the store.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydy? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out. Touch them. They are touching themselves. And they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woo-hoo!
Well, that reminds me that I totally forgot about the joke of the episode that I did not say for the podcast is the actor who plays Adam was once on Growing Pains in the role of Little Boner. And that's what I've got right now for Alexandria Daddario. Little Boner.
Check out the store. How do we get out of this now?
You just cut the music.
Follow
now.
Us on
you
social just... medias.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Little Boner.
Goodbye.
Little Boner. Little Boner. Guys. God damn it. You know what? If I ever get like famous, which will never happen, but if I ever do, my obituary is going to be known as the man who said, Little Boner.